You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 26th, 2020, President Trump being very direct in an interview on Sean Hannity last night. He said cities like Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, Oakland, those U.S. cities now, because of the crime and the acceptance and calls to get rid of police, in those cities, it's like living in hell. In the next segment, you're going to hear from a leader in the black community in Chicago saying Black Lives Matter is not doing what it needs to be doing. It's focusing on police violence only while our children are being killed in our neighborhoods. Living in hell. In Minneapolis, you got a progressive neighborhood, Powderhorn Park. And they vow that in this neighborhood, we will check our privilege and protect people of color. We will no longer involve police when it comes to property damage or even anything threatening. They say if anyone's in physical danger, they will instead not call police, but call the American Indian Movement, founded in Minneapolis in 1968 to address systemic issues of poverty and police brutality against Native Americans. That's been policing their own communities for years and say, we will call them, not police, because we don't want police. Well, they're having problems. 300 homeless have now camped out in a local park, and drug dealers are in and out of there, already one drug overdose. And those neighbors who said, we'll keep the promise not to call police, they're trying to avoid the park, fearing for their children's safety. And they're having trouble sleeping at night, they admit, fearing that some of the homeless may try to force their way into their homes. One woman, 44 years old, listen to this. She's got children, 12 and 9. She no longer allows them to play in the park by themselves. And you know what she says then? I'm not being judgmental. It's not personal. It's just not safe. Please don't call me a racist. I added that. But that's what she's trying to say. She's so concerned about not being called judgmental and maybe being a racist that you won't flat out say that my children age 12 and 9 are in danger because of what's here. All right, the House is preparing to vote today on House Resolution 51, voting on statehood for D.C., District of Columbia. Not likely to happen, but if it does, it would then give the District of Columbia one representative in Congress and two U.S. senators. Joe Biden says, elect me, and I will mandate, in other words, federal law, I will mandate Americans have to wear masks in public because of the COVID-19. Thought the states were supposed to make that in local jurisdictions. But Biden says, I'll make it federal law. Well, in North Carolina, the governor, Roy Cooper, Democrat, has also said, well, we're going to mandate in our state you have to wear a mask in public places, both indoors and outdoors. At least three North Carolina sheriffs saying we're not going to support it. I want to give you balance to that story. A new National Pew Research survey finds that more than 70% of Americans do believe you should wear a mask most of the time or always when in public. But, of course, that's their choice. President Trump worried about mail-in voting, saying the biggest risk we will have for this election. Mail-in voting opening up fraud. Chuck Schumer's response is Trump's lying about voter fraud because he thinks he's going to lose. Right. Well, Chuck, what do you think about this? This story coming out of California. Some 23,000 dead registered voters are going to probably receive mail-in ballots to vote in the upcoming 2020 presidential election because of a new law signed by that governor. Faith Hill, country music star, married to Tim McGraw. Faith is from Mississippi. And she's now joining the call for others to say we need to change our state flag. Because on the flag, there is a Confederate emblem. And she says it's a direct symbol of terror, and I want to see it changed. I don't know if her husband's had any remarks on it. He's from Louisiana. Everybody trying to realign themselves suddenly got to be concerned. We already know the Lady Antebellum Band had changed their name because they didn't want to be referring to any slavery times, the antebellum period. And now come the Dixie Chicks, the country band, the Dixie Chicks. Going to change the name to the Chicks, dropping the word Dixie. Listen, I dropped the Dixie Chicks long ago when they spoke out against Bush.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in and assess the situation at a very reasonable cost and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, again, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now, come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I understand what Black Lives Matters, what they're attempting to do. I understand that. But at the same time, we need help to do our best to stop the gun violence in Chicago. The entire nation should be outraged when a 3-year-old is executed on the streets of Chicago and a 13-year-old young girl was killed on the west side of Chicago as well. And 2 young women were executed on the south side of Chicago last week.
Those are the words of T.O. Hardeman. He's the executive director of a group called Violence Interrupters. And he's talking about the lives lost in Chicago just over Father's Day weekend, 100-plus lives. One of them, as we documented previously for you, a 3-year-old, a 3-year-old, who was riding in the car with his father. And apparently the 27-year-old father was a target of some gangland shooting. That suggests the father had something to do with drugs or gang activity. We don't know. But unless they hit the wrong target, they were going after him for some reason. And he survived. His 3-year-old child is dead. How would that make you feel as a father? If you did something, especially if it were criminal, and somebody came to attack you and ended up killing your family, or even if you were innocent of anything, they're trying to get you and they kill your child. And that was one of them. And another one being, as you heard T.O. Hardeman state, a 13-year-old. We talked about that also the other day. You remember the story of the 13-year-old? You know how she died? Her mother said, "One moment we're dancing together in the house, just dancing." There were a couple boys out on a porch out front, 15, 17. And again, no one knows if they were meant to be a target or if it's just a drive-by shooting. Who knows at this point? The 15 and 17-year-old were hit, but they survived. But one of the bullets went into the house, and the mother says, I was dancing with my child. I spun around, and I don't see her. She's dropped to the floor, one hand on her neck where it's gushing blood, and the other hand reaching out to me, calling for me. T.O. Hardiman with Violence Interrupter says, we got to stop this. This is what's happening in black neighborhoods all over the nation. Some areas more so than others. Probably 15, 20, well, I'd say 20 plus years ago, I did an extensive documentary and investigative piece on violence inside black neighborhoods, focusing on sections of the St. Louis area. And more than one black resident said, when we put our kids to bed, sometimes we often put them under the bed, afraid to have them sleep in the bed. And our lullaby is the sound of bullets. You can't raise kids safely like that. No family should be subjected to that. And that's why it's also incensed me repeatedly. When I keep hearing Black Lives Matter, and I only see you show up when a police officer's involved in a shooting, and all you white people doing the same thing, waving BLM signs, why are you not also joining and encouraging members of the black community to march in the streets when children are shot down in their own neighborhood? Oh, it's not politically expedient for you? You don't get the support you want? So now we have somebody like T.O. Hardiman, the Violence Interrupters executive director, saying it makes no sense. It just makes no sense. Please listen.
I'm one of the guys that was on the front line when he came down to standing up against police brutality and excessive force. And I understand what Black Lives Matter, what they're attempting to do. I understand that. But at the same time, we need help to do our best to stop the gun violence in Chicago. The entire nation should be outraged when a three-year-old is executed on the streets of Chicago, and a 13-year-old young girl was killed on the west side of Chicago as well, and two young women were executed on the south side of Chicago last week. Because it makes no sense to me if we continue to stand up against the system, but we will not stand up in our own neighborhood.
Not standing up in your own neighborhood. Hardiman also responded to the Greater New York Black Lives Matter president, Hawk Newsom, we had on the air yesterday for you, saying pretty much the same thing. And he said, Black Lives Matter, they're raising millions and millions of dollars. We should have a meeting, see how we can actually work together in order to stem the tide of gun violence in the inner city. I'll let you hear more from him in a moment. But he asked clearly, why inner city murders are not getting the same attention as the death of a George Floyd? What's the answer? Oh, it's routine. It happens normally. Well, it shouldn't be routine. It shouldn't happen normally. Oh, well, it doesn't involve a police officer. It involves members of our own community. Kids that are not. And I shouldn't say all kids. By that, I mean young adults. Some of them are certainly old enough to know better. But when they're gangbangers, if they were raised that way and they want all the shiny stuff without working for it. And don't tell me you can't get a job now, because there are a lot of jobs available and had been prior to the COVID-19 and probably will be more going forward. And if you want to get better at your job, then you need to apply yourself more. And you want more money, then you need to get a degree. It is tougher for some families and some members of our community than others. There's no doubt about it. And if inner city kids are having to be bused starting an hour earlier before any other kids get out of their bed, so they have to meet the bus to get to their school, that needs to be corrected as well. But Black Lives Matter only shows up when it's politically expedient, such as attacking statues. We'll attack statues, make a big deal out of that. And I pointed out to you yesterday, a Pew Research found in the last 2 months, out of the protesters in the streets or attacking statues, only one out of six was a black American. Most were white. I want to take you back to something we played for you yesterday from Robert Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Network. And when it comes to dealing with attacking statues and what good comes out of that. Listen to his wording, please.
If you want to decide on statues and you want to treat black people right, why don't you do this? Why don't you get, you know, a group of black people together and say, before we go knock down the statue of, you know, Ulysses Grant, or we're going to knock down the statue of, what do you guys think? Give us the belief that you respect our opinion. You go out and do something and destroy something, fire somebody, because you think it hurts us. Why don't you ask us first if it hurts us before you go and say, oh, I got to do something for the Negroes to make them feel better? To me, what white people are doing with the idea that they're making us feel good is tantamount to rearranging the deck chairs on a racial Titanic. It absolutely means nothing.
The words of Robert Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television Network, specifically targeting whites who join the Black Lives Matter movement only because, you know, maybe it's something to do, kind of cool. They don't really have any investment in it. Why not get out? Show that I'm woke, I can wave a sign. Why are they not also turning to their black friends and saying, what can we do in your neighborhood to make it safe for children in your neighborhood? And why isn't Black Lives Matter taking the lead in that? That's the whole point of T.O. Hardeman of Chicago, again, the executive director of Violence Interrupters.
Well, you get pushback because a lot of times it's like the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to deal with this particular issue. The type of pushback that I receive on a regular basis, people say, well, white people kill each other, T.O. Hispanic people kill each other. Mm-hmm. But I'm a black man in America. I'm concerned about stopping all killings. Don't get me wrong. But my main concern is the black people killing one another in our community. Right now in Chicago, we have a little bit over 300 homicides already this year. Already, we're on pace to pretty much reach 600 homicides, unfortunately. But I feel we should just deal with both of the issues. Black Lives Matter, they're raising millions and millions of dollars. We should have a meeting and see how we can actually work together in order to stem the tide of gun violence in the inner city.
And how much of that money that's been raised by Black Lives Matter has been spent on the inner city? Does anyone have an accounting of it? Does anyone have an accounting where any of the money is gone? The various chapters, be it New York, Chicago, Detroit, Dallas, all lives matter. And I'm going to go back to that point each and every time. But I even acknowledged, beginning with Ferguson, that when they were out and saying Black Lives Matter, I knew why they're saying it. I didn't like it because it diminishes others. But some of them think if you say all lives matter, you're diminishing black lives. Why does it cut that way? And yet they can say, well, we didn't say only black lives matter, but Larry, you can't say all lives matter because, well, I'm not excluding blacks. I said everyone. Every life should matter. And I am particularly incensed and feel for those who are trapped in some of these areas and they can't do anything about it. They have to live there and they're worried about their kids getting to and from school safely or playing in the streets without gangs rolling by, opening fire on each other, or just trying to target anyone they want. And Black Lives Matter has not been staging any major events anywhere. There's a Chicago pastor the other day after what happened on Father's Day. He said the same thing. He said, we've got to deal with what's in our community. I want to go back to something I mentioned in news and commentary, and I'd also touched on a little bit the previous hour. This Minneapolis neighborhood that likes to consider it's woke, it's progressive. And they decided in Powderhorn Park, they will not call police They will check their privilege and protect people of color. So about 300 homeless have now moved into a local park in that neighborhood area. And since then, they've had an overdose, at least one, drug deals going on constantly. Kids can't go by the park without getting catcalls or remarks from people inside the park. Parents have decided to not let their kids go to the park, admitting it's not safe, but I don't want to be judgmental, they say. And they say if there's anything that we need to have police, instead of calling them, we'll call the American Indian Movement, founded in Minneapolis 1968, to come in serve as the police. That would be like in New York City, the Guardian Angels. They can do a lot of good, but you can't just call the Guardian Angels if you got crime on your hand and someone being shot to death, because they're not going to come armed. You're going to need police. But this is, again, something that they were doing to show that they are woke and they're with Black Lives Matter. We will no longer call police because of what happened to George Floyd. You're endangering your own children, your community. I pray those in these communities will put pressure on Black Lives Matter, saying, prove to us Black Lives Matter starting here on this block. Another question for you. How about black fathers? Do black fathers matter? I want to share something with you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Boots on the ground correspondent for this program, Andrew in Chicago, called my attention to a piece written in townhall.com, written by Katie Kiefer. Katie is a young white woman. She wrote a piece titled, Black Fathers Matter. Do you have to be black to write this kind of article? I'd say no, because she refers to a lot of different stats we're going to give you without overloading you on numbers. Here's the way she begins her piece. Fathers matter. A child without a good father figure grows up with a disadvantage that cannot be erased by money, education, or fame. Activists claim that whites and police are primarily responsible for holding blacks back. In truth, black father figures are the foremost differentiating factor in their offspring's quality of life. CDC reports 69% of black children are born to unmarried mothers. Black Lives Matter, what do? She points out on their website, the Black Lives Matter website, explicitly three times mentions the importance of mothers, never mentions fathers. In fact, emphasizes men are absolutely not at the center of the movement. Direct quote from the BLM's website, we built a space that affirms black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered. Daniel Patrick Monahan was a liberal Democrat in his day. He wrote a piece in 1965 titled, The Negro Family, The Case for National Action. He's pointing out that nearly 25% of black children are born to unwed mothers at that time. 25%, I just gave you 69%. And he said, at the heart of the deterioration of the fabric of Negro society is the deterioration of the family. Another source, an African-American economist, Walter Williams, shuts down in his book, Race and Economics, any argument that slavery and discrimination decimated the black family. He says, no, that was not it. He said, years ago, there were only slight differences in family structure between racial groups. The percentage of nuclear families were black 75%. 75% of the black families had a mom and father present throughout the children's lifespan at home. Black fathers do matter. And here's one other piece I want to share from this piece that was on townhall.com. Denzel Washington was asked about minorities facing higher incarceration rates. What did he say? You blame the system? Where was his father? It starts in the home. And yeah, well, my father got locked up. Where was his father? If a young man doesn't have a father figure, he'll go find a father figure. Denzel has been married to his wife, the same woman, for 37 years. And they have four children. He doesn't just talk the talk, he walks it. And pastors all across this nation and inside the black communities will agree. Children not having fathers in a stable home atmosphere opens them up to so many sins and wrongs, incarceration, and sometimes death. Take a break, come back. We'll be joined by James Herson from California. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. Want a little rain or water? That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is an international business attorney, New York Times best-selling author, on every major network and in major publications across the nation, and still a lot's time for Larry Connors USA, and we always appreciate it. James Herson, welcome back on board.
It's great to be with you, Larry, and it's refreshing to hear that authentic blues bumper music. I love that.
I knew you would. Yeah, and Quentin, do you know the Q-Man, do you know that, I got a lot to cover, but just briefly, do you know that before Jim got into everything like this, he was a professional musician? He was a keyboardist with the legendary group. Tell him which one, Jim.
It's the Temptations.
Wow. You know, yeah, Quentin and the what?
I'm a Motown guy.
Thanks very much. Jim, I got a lot to cover with you. Before,
all right.
One of the things I want to put in front of you right away, in our preceding segment, I was reading an excerpt from a townhall.com piece written by Katie Kiefer titled Black Fathers Matter, talking about how valuable it is to have black fathers in a family to solve a lot of the crimes and problems we have in our system right now. And I referred specifically in that article to Denzel Washington when he was asked about minorities facing higher incarceration rates. He said, you blame the system. Where was his father? And they said, well, he's locked up. He said, well, where was his father? If a young man doesn't have a father figure, he'll go find a father figure. And I pointed out Denzel and his wife have been married for 37 years, four children.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a crisis. I mean, you know, it's funny. You mentioned my time with the Temptations. It was several years on the road, and a wonderful, brilliant guitar player named David Williams. He also worked with Michael Jackson. He worked with Madonna. He worked with everybody. And he once said one of the wisest things I can think of. He said, no matter where you go and what you do, your daddy is the baddest dude in the world. So what he meant is...
Go ahead.
What he meant is that a father figure forms a male. You know, it's called the path of the warrior. It's crucial for young boys to have the tutelage of a wiser, older man. And if there's no father there, someone steps up sometimes to take his place. Now, sometimes it's a grandfather or an uncle, a pastor. It could be someone who's good. But in many cases, it turns out to be a gang leader who brings a child into a terrible alternative family with rotten values and led down a path that normally leads to destruction.
You know,
I mean, we believe in redemption at any point, but that path is a terrible path for a young man to go down.
Even Don Lemon in 2013, Don Lemon on CNN said, black people, the problem is absent fathers, an express train right to prison, and the cycle continues.
You know, it's funny because this is not, and by the way, let's say this is not unique to any ethnic group at all.
Right.
Because if, you know, whatever, if somebody is any ethnicity and they grow up without a daddy, they have to overcome a lot. Now, there are some brilliant moms out there. They're able to kind of fill that gap, and they're fantastic.
Amazing women, yeah.
But a young boy, you know, look, testosterone creates something very unique. And no matter what they try to do by telling us the sexes are the same, we know quite differently.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of violent crimes are committed by men. And the reason for that is that they are innately hardwired to be warriors. And that warrior spirit that's inside a man, if it's directed properly, it is a positive, wonderful thing that shapes the nation, basically. It's a spirit of leadership and courage. However, if it goes wild and amoral, it ends up leading down a destructive path for not just that individual, but for society as a whole. I was just going to say, all the great African-American pastors who do incredible work, they are preaching this because they know that there was a reason why for thousands of years that civilizations, that the foundation was based on this idea of that we call a traditional family. It's not just an accident.
Well, let me deal with that.
There's a purpose to
yeah,
it.
The issue of the traditional family, the nuclear family. Walter E. Williams, African-American economist, in his book Race and Economics, pointed out the differences years ago in the difference of family structure between racial groups. At that time, the American nuclear family, 73% of the families had a mom and father in the house. And the black family, 75% of them had mom and dad in the house. Compared to the latest figures from the CDC, 69% of the kids are living in a house with only a mom and no dad.
No doubt about it. And that's part of the failure of when Lyndon Johnson passed the Great Society. Whatever his goals were, the economics were set up for an incentive for women to live in a single household. It was economically incentivized to dump the man. And, you know, in our society, rather than having policies that viewed a traditional family as a treasure, which is what it is, viewed it with hostility. The policies of the Democrat Party, sorry to get political, but I have to, are anti-family. And the reason is now that the Democrats are held hostage by the far left. If we look at the roots of the far left, they have always hated the traditional family and wanted to destroy it.
And
that goes
and this
all
nation.
The way back to the fathers of the Russian Revolution, Marx, Engels, Trotsky.
And they hate this nation. I want to deal with a piece I saw you wrote, and we're looking at what's happened in Seattle, the CHOP zone. They still haven't dismantled it. They went in, and they're not moving. Some of them say, we're not ready to go, so they don't know what they're going to do next. You wrote a piece, which I love the title, Whose Land Is It Anyway?
Yeah, no, I mean, the point was, and, it, you know, now it looks like CHOP, you know, anywhere it had 6 blocks, and they had 3 blocks. Now there's like something like 100 people. The Department of Transportation in Seattle, it was assigned to go in there and open it up, and people are standing and lying down in front of the equipment to try to stop it. And, of course, what's missing in taking down Chaz, CHOP, is the police, because there's this idiotic hostility toward the police instead of the proper thing. You know, instead of defunding the police, we should defund the thought police.
Yeah.
But this being said, if the police were allowed to do their job, that would be cleared out in all of 20 minutes, like it was in Nashville, like it was in North Carolina, Miami. In Washington, D.C.
Are you aware in Minneapolis as a suburb, Powderhorn Park, and they have said, we're not going to call police in our neighborhood anymore. We're going to check our privilege coming in the neighborhood. And as a result, about 300 homeless have now encamped in a park. Kids can't go into the park. And no one wants to call police because they don't want to be the one that called police to resolve the issue.
Yeah, I mean, what proper name can you call people? And by the way, these are white people. These are wealthy people, relatively, who are filled with guilt that they're buying the thought police and somehow that by being born a certain race, they should deprive themselves of protection because of this original sin of white privilege that they have. What do you call people like that? Well, I mean, if we're kind, we'd call them deluded. But they're idiots.
Yeah.
They're complete idiots. And, you know, it's funny because in Washington, D.C., Andrea Mitchell was interviewing a D.C. delegate Democrat.
Right.
And they were attacked by one of the peaceful protesters, supposedly. And the guy said to Andrea Mitchell, is there a cop around here? And so,
and the statues they're tearing down. One of them being stolen. I mean, Ulysses S. Grant, which led the Union Army to defeat the Confederate Army, and they want to. They don't care about history, Jim. They simply want to overturn the nation. And 30 seconds. Let me have summation from you on those points. 30 seconds.
Well, sure. No. I mean, thanks to the left and the unions that took over our schools. Children are not taught history, so they don't know who Ulysses S. Grant is. So they see a statue, and, you know, most of the statues to them indicate white supremacy. So they're tearing down Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, famous abolitionists, people who had the courage to stand up and abolish what was norm in the world, slavery, get rid of it. Other countries hadn't gotten rid of it. It's pure ignorance, and these are artistic works. And remember,
the left celebrates this, yeah,
but tells us we should tolerate a crucifix in urine.
Right, right, yeah, that's exactly right. As you said, the term is idiots. Jim, as always, glad to have you on board, sir. we'll do it again. We'll do it again. Thanks, James. James Herson from L.A.,
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right, yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Sports giant Nike says the coronavirus has hit us hard. Nike is reporting a $790 million loss in the last quarter, a 46% drop in North American sales. And they're blaming it on COVID-19. Do you think it might have anything to do with Colin Kaepernick endorsement and them basically putting him on as a leading spokesperson? I'm asking. I'll leave it to you. There's a semi-professional soccer team in the nation that says it is no longer going to play the U.S. national anthem. Not going to play it. They say after carefully reviewing the Star-Spangled Banner, the lyrics, the meaning, we're going to drop it. They're specifically concerned about the third verse. It mentions no refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. That verse is rarely sung. Most folks don't know it even exists. But this team has decided the Star-Spangled Banner does not represent the fans, the community, the players, and it does not unite, it divides. Where is this team? Right in the heart of a red state carried by Donald Trump with 65% of the vote the last time around. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma. They want to get woke. They're going to no longer play the U.S. national anthem. Well, what are they going to play? They're saying, we are going to play Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land, because they think that allows us to freely speak our voice, and This Land Is Your Land captures a powerful patriotic sentiment, but more inclusive, being built and shared by every person of every race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation. You think? I would argue that. I would argue that. Do you think the American Indians would like that song, This Land Is Your Land? And they'd say, damn right, it was my land. You took it from me. And there are a lot of Indian tribes throughout Oklahoma. You think they believe that song is even better? So how are you going to satisfy them? Maybe they won't do anything. Who knows? Maybe they'll sing and do nothing. You can't please everyone all the time. And these shifting values we have going on, trying to say, oh, I hear you. I feel your pain. We'll change for you. This group over here says, what about us? Oh, yeah, we'll change that too. And then there will come another group and another group. You reach the point where you're not standing for anything. If that had been the attitude of this country in the beginning, we wouldn't exist. If it had been the attitude in World War II, we'd either be speaking German or Japanese or both. And, of course, this rush to tear down historical monuments. The Black Entertainment founder, Robert Johnson, I told you yesterday and again today how he says, you don't accomplish anything by tearing down even Confederate statues. You do nothing to help the Black Americans. He thinks it's silly. And you heard my guest just previous, James Herson, pointing out the same thing. What are you doing? You're not doing anything. And of course, I'd pointed out to you, one of the sites they may still decide to attack would be Mount Rushmore. And I know some folks saying, come on, Larry, they won't. Yes, they will. They will try it if they can. They'll look for ways to deface and vandalize. Maybe they'll even get somebody down the road to say, just destroy it, blow it up. Well, right now, the South Dakota governor is saying we are going to stand by and protect it. We're going to make sure it's protected. Kristi Noem. However, there is an Indian tribe, the Ogallala Lakota tribe, that doesn't like Mount Rushmore, saying it's a symbol of white supremacy, of structural racism still alive and well in society today. All right, there's an Indian tribe I just told you about. The concern in Tulsa that this land is your land that might upset Indian tribes in Oklahoma. Here's one in South Dakota that doesn't like the Mount Rushmore. They want to see it come down. So here's what's going to happen on July 3rd. Several groups led by those Native American activists will protest because Donald Trump is going to show up on July 3rd. They have decided to have a big fireworks display on July 4th. And on July 3rd, President Trump wants to show up and be there at South Dakota's Black Hills and at the site of Mount Rushmore, where the presidents Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln appear. They're going to have U.S. fighter jets thundering over that 79-year-old stone monument. In the past, it'd be something we would all understand, except as pride in our country. Nowadays, nope. They say we want to be included, but they don't really mean that. They say they want to hear your voice. They don't. We want to make our determination as to who's included and excluded, and we will determine what you could say and when. And when that group finishes with you, there's another one in the back of the line ready to come forward. All right, that wraps it for this week. I appreciate you listening. We'll be back Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.